So, really, to be able to properly understand Malchus, Zechonis, and Shifrois, really have to take it pasuk by pasuk, and each pasuk represents a different aspect of Malchus that we're supposed to be appreciating, and thus we can be here a good part of the night, and tomorrow night, and Shabbos, and etc. It's going to take a long time. So, like I said, the first time we're going to try to focus on is just to find some aspects of it that we can use to be Ma'ir ourselves, that we can use to be Nesayr, and that's what I'll try to focus on. So it won't necessarily be representative of the whole concept of Malchus or Zechonis or Shifrus, but it's certain aspects of it. Hopefully on Rosh Hashanah, being that there's plenty of time to do speaking and speeches, we'll cover a couple more aspects of it, but let's see what we can do now. Before we start, I should say a funny thing that happened once with my wife. She was teaching once in a school. And there was a certain, you know, certain type of school, a certain type of girls. And she had just given a whole class on Malchus, Zechonis, and Shifrus, and all the you know, the depth of it, and the Inyanim, and so on and so forth. And she comes in the next day, and she says, "So girls, what is Rosh Hashanah all about?" And one girl raises her hands, and she says, "Apples and honey." So there's this always the fact that we're always competing with what we grew up with and what our initial understanding, simple basic understanding of any yantav or any concept, and it's very hard to move away from that original, you know, concepts that you have as a child or whenever was the first time you were introduced to these concepts. So we'll see if we can get past that, all of us together. Okay, so at Malchus, you know, we discussed a little bit already last time when we were saying B'chentein Pachtecha, how we can relate to Malchus. And the Psukum Malchus are fascinating, the particular Psukum that were picked to represent Malchus. And one of them is even more interesting, the final one, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then that is the final Pasuk of Malchus, and we don't say anything about Melech, we don't say anything about King. But, in effect, by saying Hashem Echad, that really means total dominion. Hashem Echad, the true definition of Echad, and which is the definition you're supposed to have in mind really every time you say Kriya Shema, Echad means there is no other power other than Hashem. This is a big discussion, but what we don't understand anything about Hashem, because he's not, it's beyond the human capability to understand about Hashem. There's only one thing we can understand about Hashem. The only thing we can understand about Hashem is what he's not. It's interesting when you look at it in that way, but that is really what we do understand about Hashem. We understand he's not human, right? And he's not. And we also understand how everything else is nothing or has no real reality or real existence when compared to Hashem. There's a whole sefer written by Chal, who wrote the Mesillas Yesharim. It's called Das Tunos, and that's. The whole Sefer is dedicated to really understanding what it means, Yichud Hashem. When you say Hashem Echad, what are you trying to say? What are we talking about? What does it mean? How does it really apply to us? And it's a fascinating limud. But in any case, the real concept of Echad means that there is nothing else that has power or that has dominion or has any kayach in this world. Echad means Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He is the single and only source of power and force that controls anything in this world. Even though it's true, we're also trying to say there aren't chas v'shalom two Hashems or three Hashems or many gods, the way the Romans and the Greeks believed. We're also excluding that. But that's not really what we're trying to say. We're saying much, much more than that, and that's why it's Malchus. What we're saying is, that Echa means he's the only one. He's a yachid. He's not only a one, he is a yachid. He's the only one that has any power. That's why Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is the last pasuk, and likewise the pinnacle of what we're saying in Malchus, it is the true statement of Malchus Shemayim. Of course, included in Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is what Rashi says al Torah, that Hashem Elokeinu means Hashem is Elokeinu now. Everybody else doesn't believe in him. Hashem Echad, la'asad lava, eventually everybody will believe in Hashem. So that's also representative of the things we're mentioning during the Psukim of Malchus, how la'asad lava, it's going to be so that's why Shema Yisrael represents Malchus in those two ways, right? And it's also, like I said, something really we should be having in mind every time we say Kriya Shema and we say Hashem Echad. There's a famous saying from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that he said that when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, so we say Aleph is Hashem is one. Ches means he's the ruler over all seven Shemayims and this world. It's Ches, seven, and one. And Dalet is all four sides of the world. Hashem is the ruler. He says, but don't forget, he's also the ruler over you. Don't be mamluchim over everything else. Don't forget to be mamluchim over yourself. This is really the concept of Malchus, which Sfarim speak about, is that when a person is saying Malchus, and which means you're accepting that Hashem is the ruler and Hashem is the king and all the other things we're going to say in the tefillah of Malchus, and that he should be, as you know, with the Mashiach should come and he should be the ruler over the whole world. You can't say Malchus without some form of acceptance on yourself of Hashem as your king. Now, to say, do lip service and say Hashem is your king, okay, that doesn't mean anything, obviously, right? What does it mean that Hashem is your king? It means that you abide by his laws. You do what he wants you to do. What he wants you to do. That's what real Malchus means. So when a person is saying Malchus, it has to be accompanied with some form of tshuva and hachna that, you know, obviously tshuva is a parsha, and you have the Sarat Yimei tshuva to work on it, but it has to be accompanied by that Kabbalah that you are going to work on it. You are going to be machnir yourself and try as best as you can in your ability to move forward in that work of being more meshubet to Hashem, of doing Hashem's work and doing what Hashem wants. And the Chai Adam has a big introduction to tshuva, to Hilchos Yom Kippur, and it's printed in Siddur Hagra, it's printed in Sam Sidurim. Some Achzayrim have it, and that's one of the first things he says. He says, you know, you can say Malchus today till tomorrow. You have to do Malchus. You have Malchus is something that, and the truth is, it's something really which is not a, you know, Rosh Hashanah, and then, you know, wake up in Rosh Hashanah, and then you could do Malchus. It's something that really needs some preparation and some thought. That, you know, how exactly you're going to present yourself to Hashem is that I'm an Eved. How exactly are you an Eved? What are you doing to show yourself as an Eved? So it's an Avaidah. But minimally, at least, when you're saying the psukim, that is what you're supposed to be having in mind. You're supposed to be trying to think of how you are going to truly accept Hashem's melucha in the coming year, how you're going to do things differently and try to approach life differently, even if you're not up to the point yet where you know exactly what you're going to change and how you're going to change, and that's something that you'll be working on. But even that itself, that you're going to, you have a plan over the Seres Mitzvah or over the year to try to figure out something or to try to work on it. You know, any of those things are appropriate machshavas that should accompany the tefillah of Malchus. There is one pasuk that we say in Malchus, which is very interesting, and there's a very beautiful havana in this from the Altar from Kelm. The pasuk is v'nemar v'yihi bishurim melech. Yeshurun means in Klal Yisrael, one of the names of Klal Yisrael is Yeshurun. So v'yihi bishurim amongst Klal Yisrael, there's a king melech. When all the leaders of the nation gather together, Yachad Shifti Yisrael, when all the Shifti Yisrael are together. The Alter von Kelm has a mimer in his Sefer the Kisvei Alter Sabbat Mikelm. It's titled Ha'ara Neira, a terrifying Ha'ara, or an amazing Ha'ara. This Ha'ara was always posted on the front door of Kelm Yeshiva throughout the whole Chodesh El. This particular nekuda that he wanted everybody to think of was always on the door of and what was it? It was this pasuk. He says that Rabbeinu Tam has sefer Yeshua Rabbeinu Tam. It's a Musa sefer. We don't know if it's Rabbeinu Tam who was Taisus or if it's a different Rishon, but it was written by a Rishon. And he writes over there that from the way we have to approach Malchus Shemayim is similar to the way we approach the Malchus of a Basar V'dam. So the Alta says that the first requisite of a king is that he should have a nation. If his nation is divided and conflicted and many, many different factions that are all fighting with each other, then that's a powerless king. Right? A united nation is that defines that, and that is what gives the king any sort of power that he does have is through the nation that is connected, united, and serving him as one. So he said, this pasuk is not just that we're saying Vayhi Bishurim Melech. That's not how we're declaring Hashem's Malchus. We're declaring Hashem's Malchus because we're saying Yachad Shifti Yisrael. That's the real Malchus Shemayim. The Malchus Shemayim that we're giving to Hashem is because we're all together. And he said that's one of the main things, and that's why this was posted on the door of Yeshiva's Kelm. One of the main things that need to be worked on in Chodesh El is V'haflu Re'echa Kumaycha. putting aside your differences, and obviously when we get to Yom Kippur, it's a very big point that's made, you know, about Veinanu Mechaveray, and you say it in the Tefillah also. But as in Pashat, in Malchus Shemayim itself, Malchus Shemayim, the prerequisite and the one of the biggest nekudas of Malchus Shemayim is we have to work together. And the truth is that the fact alone, if a person realizes and comes to a true akara where it really means something to us, that we're working towards the same goal and we're all trying to accomplish the same thing, that in itself goes a long, long way to helping a person put aside his differences. I'll give you an example. If you ever lived out of the country, right? So you lived in Israel, let's say, for a while, or you lived anywhere way out, right? Or let's say you lived in a state where there's no Jews around, right? So all of a sudden, you know, a third cousin or a fourth cousin becomes closer than your aunt, you know? And especially when you're in Israel, an American becomes like a, you know, you're automatic buddies because you have something in common, you have a uniting factor, even though, what is it already? But when you're in a strange surrounding and when you have nothing else, that itself brings you together. So the real understanding of that we're working towards the same goal, we're working for the same person, so to speak, we're working for to get to the same place, that would bring everybody together if we would have that hakara. And it's also what's necessary to give that malchus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're all working together for Him. So it actually puts a new spin on things during the year when we have our challenges when it comes to being out of Mechaveray, right? And when, you know, we're upset at people or we have issues with people, you know, and the various different nisyonis that we have, when you think about it, that it's not just a question of me and him and me being upset at him, it's a global question. The period between me and my friend, the machlaikis that will be caused between me and my friend, is not just a question of a machlaikis, it's not just a question of me being upset at him, and there are various avarice which obviously can come out of that. It's a global question. You're diminishing Malchus Shemayim by being upset at your friend, by being in a fight with your friend, and by letting it fester and ferment and continue and become worse and worse. You're really making a huge difference in the way, you know, Hashem dominates this world, because now He's that much less recognized. He's that much less ba'achtus. Is that much less unity. So he said that the Alter writes, and this is a, you know, this is just a brilliant idea, and he has a number of these in his writings. He says, this is just like, it's a beautiful idea. Whenever if you have Taka Hesiris over, you know, Saris Mechuv, or whenever it is that you get a particular Hesiris, he has this Mahalach that find a way to remind yourself of this Hesiris. So he suggests over here that when you say every day in davening, I think by the pasuk he chooses is in Shacharis. I think that's where he chose. Yeah, he said, when you say Shir Chadash Shilchu Geulam Shimcha Asfas Hayam, Yachad Kulam Haydu, everybody was Yachad, everybody was together. Then Himlichu VaAmru, then they were able to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, use that to remind yourself when you say every day something. You say every day, give that a little extra, you know. Take yourself out of autopilot and give a little thought to what you're saying. Realize that that is what you're saying. Being that it was Yachad Kulam, being that we were all together and we were united in the Yamsuf when we were being chased by the Mitzrayim and we were finally saved and we saw Malchus Shemayim, we were together, Hoyde V'Himlichu V'Amru, we were able to give true a Malchus Shemayim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a beautiful thought to be Ma'ari yourselves and ourselves in the concept of V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha, and one of the most important aspects of tshuva to fix up between Adam and Chaver, right? It's a very, very core factor of Malchus. In Zechrinus is very interesting, and you know, I find it, Malchus, Zechrinus, and Sheref is like this. Malchus, we relate and we understand a lot of what we're saying. Zechrinus, pretty much 50%, some of it we do understand, a lot of it we don't understand, and Sheref is, generally, we don't understand b'chlal what we're trying to say in Shacharis. That's the way it goes in the Shemoneh Esrei. But you know, by that time, you've been downing for a long time already, so you know, it just goes. But it's so generally, when I try to put effort and understanding the davening, I like go backwards. I start with Shacharis, you know, put my main effort there because that's where I understand the least. But anyway, let's go to Zechrinus. So Zechrinus is an interesting concept, right? Hashem doesn't forget anything, and it's actually one of the psukim you say in Shikchal Fnei Kisa Kavedecha, right? So what does it mean? You should remember. If he doesn't forget anything, then he doesn't need to be reminded. So there's two ways to understand this. There's two approaches to this, and each one has a lot of depth to it. I'm just going to give you like the Rashi Prakim, and it can be thought a lot you can think about. Rav Shimshon Pinkus has one concept. His concept is, he says, imagine a situation like this. You know, if you have a child, or if you don't have a child, you had a younger brother, or one or something to that effect, or a student, or a coworker. So you have this a family member that is bothering you, nudging you, right? So you come home and they want this and they want that, and you say, okay, I'll get to it. And 2 minutes later, they ask you again, no, could I have this? And then 2 minutes later again, they ask it, and then someone's in the middle of a phone call and they're pulling on the cord and they're pulling on your clothing and they're pushing you. And, you know, on top of everything else that's been building up towards the day, your nerves are getting more and more frayed, your patience level is going down, your ire level is rising, and eventually it hits the red, you know, and the explosion is imminent, right? So you are about to break out and slam or slap your child, or if it's your brother, forget it, you know, bury him, and you know, you're very, very angry and upset and nervous. Now, do you love your child? Do you love your brother? You most certainly do. It's just that particular emotion is not playing a huge role right now. It's tucked away somewhere, that love. It needs to be worked on. If you could think about it and bring it to the forefront, then maybe it'll prevent you from slapping your brother or being that upset at your child. Right? If there is something that could be ma'irid. So for example, let's say at that point when you get so upset at your child and all of a sudden he trips and he hurts himself, right? And he starts crying. And all of a sudden, you forget about all your anger. And you say, oh my gosh, what happened? You know, you pick him up. So, what happened, right? So, there was something that caused you to be, or your other aspect of your emotion. There's something that caused that, bring that to the forefront. So, when we say Zechroinus by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means that we might be in a situation where the Midas Adin, so to speak, the emotion, we'll call it, not emotions by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Midas Adin has been brought to the forefront. We've been doing Averis, we've been irking and annoying, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, insulting, and doing everything, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, and it's come to a point where the Midas Adin is very powerful. And now we need to do what we can do to bring the other emotion, the Midas HaChesed and Ahava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring that to the forefront. We have to do that by doing his mitzvahs and listening to him and being ma'ayur things that are very powerful, like Zchus Avos, Akedas Yitzchak, things that will remind, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that he had forgotten, but that'll bring that to the forefront. That's one concept of Zechroinus. It's called remembering, but it's not technically remembering. It's just empowering that particular midah of Ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us and bringing it to the forefront. That's one concept. Another concept of Zechroinus is, many other Sfarim say, is that Hashem remembers. That's true. But what really causes Hashem to act upon those remembrances depends on how much we remember Hashem. Hashem has a yam of Rachmanis for us, and a yam of Chesed, and there's whole, you know, tremendous, endless storehouses of what Hashem, of good that Hashem wants to pour on us. But everything works midah keneged midah, right? As much as we connect to Hashem, that's how much He'll connect back to us. So zechira that we're referring to over here is how we want Hashem to be zechir us, the midah of zikaron, the midah that Hashem will react to us and will relate to us and will thereby see to our needs and to what we need is by the measure of we remember Hashem. That's the pasuk we say, Ashrei Adam Shelo Yishkachecha. If you want to be blessed, you have to be lo yishkecha, you can't forget Hashem. Ben adam yisam etzbach. And you have to catch on to Hashem, meaning to say, you have to make sure your relationship with Hashem is very powerful and very strong. So those are two concepts of Zechroinus. Both of them are actually, there's a lot to think about them. And you can go through the psukim of Zechroinus and see how each one of these concepts play a role in each one of the psukim of Zechroinus and the tefillah that we say. Now, there's... In the words of Zechroinus, there's a lot of things that we mention over here, especially in the introduction. It's a very long introduction to Zechroinus. And there's two words that are used. One is Zechira, and one is Pekida. Zechira means Hashem remembers us, which is what we're discussing over here. He remembers Midas HaChesed, or he remembers the way we're connecting to him, so he'll relate to us. Pekida means something else. Pekida means he commands us, which means he gives us our job, and he gives us what he expects from us for the coming year. So we're davening for Zechira, and as a result of Zechira, for Pekida. We want to be put in a good place when it comes to the Pekida. We want Hashem to be Pekida us in the right way. He should give us the job that fits us, the job that will advance us, the job that will give us the most Yata Dishmaya, and He should command all the surrounding aspects of our life so that it should fall into place to help us in our job of Avodas Hashem. That's what we say Pekida. When we say, Ata Zoicher Maisa Olam, Upoiked Kal Yitzuri Kedem. You remember Maisa Olam. Remember what everybody did. Ufoike Kal Yitzuri Kedem. And then you command Kal Yitzuri Kedem, everybody that was created. First, you remember what they did, and based on what they did and how they lived their life the past year, that's how you give them the job for the next year. The past year will determine where are you going, where are you headed, what are you trying to do. That's why tshuva is so powerful. The power of tshuva is not just the fact that you are undoing and getting Hashem to forgive you for what you did, which is important and which is very important and necessary. But more than that, you're also redefining what you are and what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go. And if you redefine yourself as a person, then Hashem will give you a new pekida. You'll get a new job, a job that's appropriate for who you are, for where you're trying to go now. Hashem remembers everything you did and how it got you to this point, and by that He'll be paiket kol yitzurei kedem. He'll give you the commands you need. Now, there's another aspect mentioned in Zechariah, which is also a big hesiris, and something that you know can really bring to the forefront on one to understand the importance of a yid's action, of everybody's actions, but especially a yid's action. We say ein shek chalof nekisa chavedecha. There's no, Hashem doesn't forget anything, but we say lefnei kisei chavedach. What an interesting choice of words. Why are we referring to kisei hakavet specifically over here? So I saw this explanation in Rav Chaim Friedlander, Sefer Sifsei Chaim. It's a beautiful explanation. He says the kisei hakavet refers to the way Hashem relates to this world, the way Hashem is perceived on this world. That's the kisei hakavet. A chair, a throne, right? By definition, is where the king sits when he's ruling over his subjects, right? When he wants to eat, he sits by a table. When he wants to sleep, he sleeps in his bed. He sits on his throne when he's relating to his subjects. The Kisei HaKavod is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us. The Kisei HaKavod is formed, by definition, by our relationship with Hashem. Any Aveira and every mitzvah changes the formation of the Kisei HaKavod. If we do an Aveira, we've diminished the Kisei HaKavod. If we do a mitzvah and we listen to Hashem and we're marba malchus shemayim, we've enlarged the kisei hakavod. Ein shekel b'nei kisei hakavod means that every single thing that any person ever did is permanent because it's made a difference in the kisei hakavod. The chair, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looks pasha different as a result of our actions. That's what when we're saying ein shekel b'nei kisei chavedecha means that it's not possible for anything we've done to be changed or to be forgotten. We can make up for it. We can do tshuva and we can reverse the effect. But it can't be forgotten. All the ma'asim we ever did, anything that was ever done, has a permanent scratch or a permanent shine that we've added or taken away to the kisei hakavod. That's the concept of ein shekel lefnei kisei chavedecha. It's a big hesiris, and it just gives the person the feeling of importance of everything that we do. Every action that we do has, like I said before, a global significance. It makes a huge nafkamina in the relationship Hashem has with you and with the world in general. Getting to Shifras, the like I said, these psukim are complicated, and the truth is the whole concept of Shifras is something which needs to be understood, you know, and hopefully in Rosh Hashanah I'll speak about it more. What are we doing when we blow the Shifra? What are we supposed to be having in mind? You know, how is it supposed to be Ma'ayiras? What's the point of it? The Isis, others, you know, the Sidus and Kabbalah and so on and so forth. There's a lot of things going on with Shifra, and a lot of them, many of them very hard to understand. But if you look at the psukim over here that we say in Shifras, there are three sets of psukim. We start off with the psukim of Har Sinai, the Shifra of Har Sinai. Those are all the psukim in the Torah that we meant. Basically, we just go straight with the psukim that are said by Maimon Har Sinai. Then we say psukim in Tehillim, and those psukim in Tehillim are all about the Shifra we blow, which means the Shifra we blow every year. Those are all the shayfar of Rosh Hashanah. And the last psukim, which are the psukim in Nevi'im, are the psukim that refer to the shayfar of La'asad Lava. The shayfar that's going to be when Mashiach comes, the Takav Shayfar Gadol, the tremendous shayfar that's going to change the course of history. The Seder Dvarim is as follows. A shayfar, right, and we'll maybe, like I said, on Rosh Hashanah, explain how and why. But a shofar is a koyach. Hashem is imbued in this bria, in the world, to knock down the power of ra, to diminish the power of evil, the power of the yetzer hara, to wake a person up and bring to the forefront your his iris and your relationship with Hashem and your remembering of Hashem. That's the power of a shofar. The world is traveling on a trip. It has a mission and it's going somewhere and it's going to get there regardless of what we do. The difference will only be what our place will be in the end product of the world when Mashiach comes. That's the difference our actions do. But the world is going in that direction regardless. And the way it started was like this. The Adam Rishon did a chet, and his chet that he did mixed together, so to speak, good and bad, whereas before he did his aver, things were very clear. Well, good was good, what's bad was bad. He ate from the Eitz Hadas and everything became confused. And Ra and Toiv got mixed together, and the Ra, all the evil in this world, had the ability to be shaylit over Toiv, to trump over what's good. The first attack that was made against evil in history was Matan Torah. That was the first major blow that was given to Ra. And Chazal say that at that point, really, the whole Zuama, the whole, I don't know the right word for it, the whole aspect of disgusting chet that we were infected with after Adam Harishon's Avera was dissolved by Matan Torah. So the shofar of Matan Torah, which was, so to speak, Kibiyachal Hashem was blowing, that shofar had a tremendous impact on all evil in the world, and it was the first blow that evil was given since Bria Sa'ilam. So that started the process of the end result, which is that the Ra should be just totally destroyed. Our job every Rosh Hashanah is to keep it up and to increase it through the Tekiah Shofar that we do from year to year. We're now building on the Tekiah Shofar of Matan Torah. We're building on that original blow that Ra was given, the blow that evil was given, that Hesiris that was created by Matan Torah, the recognition of Hashem. Every year Rosh Hashanah, we're continuing that work. Well, every little Hesiris that a Yid gets during Tekiah Shofar takes it one step closer to the Shofar Shal Mashiach, because we're bringing the world a little further on its path to total dominion of Toiv over Ra. And the end, and the complete circuit when the Ra is totally demolished, is Shofar Gadol. That's why it's called Shofar Gadol, because it'll do the final and full job of totally eradicating Ra. That's the Shofar of Mashiach and the Shofar of Lasid Lavid. That's the Seder, how we say the Psukim in Shofar. So we start with Shofar of HaSinai. That was the first attack on Ra, so to speak. We continue with the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, which is supposed to be Ma'ayiras, called Trua, to be ma'aras, to continue to connect to Hashem and be empowered to control our Yetzihara, and we move along until the Shofar of Lasid Lavai, which the Shofar that we're doing is the Shofar that's going to ultimately bring the Shofar of Lasid Lavai, which will totally destroy Ra in this world in Gantz.